Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the few minutes we have with us on the line of Ron Brown, and we're going to be talking about what's happening economically to America. But I wanted to start this program with a couple of articles I picked off the internet today. One of them is titled "Unemployment Rate Skyrockets." Now, they're not talking about the general unemployment rate. They're talking about the unemployment rate among the young men coming out of the military between 20 and 24. And if you come out of the military and you go out to find a job, why, you're going to have a lot of trouble. There's about a 15% unemployment rate among the veterans because they're hardly trained and because America is not generating new jobs today. Oh, yes, you can get a job working in McDonald's and places like that, but our manufacturing jobs are disappearing, and so many of our other jobs are disappearing. And so, really, for the veterans coming home, it's a very, very difficult time. But they're not the only ones who are having difficulty economically. There was an article in Texas Agriculture that basically said this. Agriculture today is facing a major catastrophe, not experienced since the Dust Bowl days of the Great Depression. Based upon expert economic projections for the first time in decades, many U.S. farmers cannot possibly cash flow a crop or crops for the year 2006. Bankers are saying no when they request loans. Many of us will not be able to farm this year or next year. The doubling and tripling of the cost of fuel and petrochemical prices are the last link in a chain of bad economic events. Since October 29th, the entire world has been focused on the aftermath of the terrible destruction of Hurricane Katrina. Then, to make a terrible tragedy even worse, Hurricane Rita slammed into the southeast Texas and western Louisiana on September the 24th. But those two storms, of course, the impact of forcing up the price of diesel fuel, which is so important as far as farming is concerned, and then, of course, petrochemicals are important as far as the fertilizers and the chemicals that are used. And, of course, unfortunately, the farmers aren't going to make a profit, and as a friend has basically said, you might as well, it's a lot easier to do nothing for nothing than something for nothing. Why bother to work all day long? And you take a chance when you put in a crop, and you're not going to possibly make a profit because they can't raise the prices. They're apparently massive food supplies here in the United States, and I believe this is one reason for all of these things happening and the boosting of the price of the oil and diesel and certainly of natural gas. All of these things are aimed at one thing, and that is, of course, turning our economy downward and beginning to impoverish the American people. If you've read my latest newsletters, Peak Oil 1 and Peak Oil 2, and Peak Oil 2 should be posted on the internet, you'll realize that this whole thing is a scam. They've raised the prices intentionally. Recently, when Lee Raymond, the CEO of ExxonMobil, testified before Congress, he said, "We really did you a favor by raising the price of gasoline. After all, if we hadn't raised the price up, why, people wouldn't have cut back on their gasoline production. There would have been long gas lines. You should really be thankful for what we did." And as Jay Leno, the rather vulgar talk show host in the evening, comedian, said, but sometimes his political commentary is excellent. When they brought in the heads of the oil companies there to testify before the United States Senate, why, they weren't required to be sworn in. They were treated with tremendous respect because, of course, the senators understand who owns the Capitol building. Well, we'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest this evening, Ron Brown, to discuss what's going on economically. Hey, Ron, how are you doing tonight?
Good to be with you.
Well, what's your take on what's going on economically across America?
it gets so confusing. You did see where they just promoted or announced Ben Bernanke is going to replace Greenspan at the Fed, and he, of course, is the man who they now call him the helicopter man, because when asked what he would do to stop inflation, he said, we must do anything if it takes, we have a printing press, and if we need to go around in helicopters dropping money out, that's what we will do to prevent deflation. So he's being painted as this great inflationist. You know, we thought Greenspan was an inflationist. Now it looks like Bernanke may make him look up like a piker. So that's going to have tremendous implications on the future. But as, you know, as I've said on this show, and you and I have both discussed, is, as our whole monetary system is based on a mountain of debt, and the debt has become so massive and so unsustainable, it's literally like a Ponzi scheme now, and you must keep it growing. Every time you start taking the deflationary side, and if jobs ever, unemployment keeps growing and people are losing their jobs, and then they can't buy, and then and the corporation's losing money, and they start laying off, and it just feeds on itself. So you quickly come back to the notion that they have really have no choice but to print their way out of any crisis that comes down the pike, and I think that's what Bernanke's there for.
But, of course, if they do that, they'll destroy the value of the currency, because the more money you print, the less the value of the currency. It's simply that. If you double the amount of money in circulation, why, you half the value of the currency.
That's right. Now, another thing that kind of supports what we're saying, Jim Papava was just reporting this weekend that the Fed is now going to quit reporting M3.
Now, could you explain to our listeners why that is important, and what is M3, and why is it important that they're not going to let the American people know what's happening to the M3 monetary reporting?
Well, the biggest confusion to most Americans is they've been miseducated on what inflation is. We've been so brainwashed to think inflation is higher prices that we look at the CPI index each month and decide whether or not we have inflation. But in reality, inflation is the increase in the money supply and credit in circulation. So if that's what inflation is, then it's important to be able to track M3, which is the money supply. It's the short-term deposits in the longer term and so forth, and it gives you an idea how much money is being created in the system. But if you take away the barometer or the thermometer where you can't judge it, then they
hold that thought there, right? We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest this evening is Ron Brown, a good friend of ours who does help Radio Liberty on a regular basis. And Ron was simply saying that most people don't understand what inflation is. Most people think that inflation is rising prices. And, of course, they really don't understand the rising prices do not create inflation. Inflation is increasing the amount of money in circulation. And, of course, the rising prices are a direct result of that. And so that you double the amount of money in circulation, why the prices are going to double? The prices are going to fall. The prices are going to double because people have the money now to buy more expensive products. This is the way it always works. And what they've done is they've intentionally confused us to think that the rising prices produce inflation. No. Rising prices are a reflection of inflation, just as wet streets do not cause rain. It's the rain that causes the wet streets. So it is the monetary inflation that produces the rising prices. Go ahead, Ron.
So if you step back and say, okay, our monetary system is based on a mountain of debt. It's not backed by anything that's real. Therefore, it really is nothing more than a gigantic confidence game. So the people who are trying to keep this scam going must keep people from seeing the truth. And so if you saw inflation or the money supply figures just exploding upwards as they are doing now, rising over the last 12 months at over 12%, then you would realize that we are inflation, and if you're in inflation, then you have to decide how to invest your money differently, and then people start to flood out of the banking system, and the whole system starts to implode on itself. So it's just all a game of a confidence game to try to keep people from seeing the truth.
And, of course, Ron was pointing out that just this last week, why the Fed announced it would no longer release the M3. Now, M3 is the measure of the money that has been artificially created in this country. You have your money in circulation, which is actually backed by money, and your checking accounts, and then you have your CDs, and then, of course, that's sort of M2, and then by the time you get to M3, this is all of the various monetary increments that are out there. The trillions of dollars that have absolutely nothing behind them, they're simply banking entries, and yet this is the basis of a monetary system. And it's so completely out of control that they do not want the American people to know, so they're just going to quit publishing those figures. The insiders will understand what's happening, but as common people are not going to understand what's happening. If you read, and I hope every one of you will get Alan Greenspan's speech that he gave before Congress on the 3rd of November, and you can get it off the web, on the Fed website. It's available several other places, but of course he gives this long, glowing discussion of how good things are, and then at the very end he steps back and he says, you know, we are in very real problems, and I think we should be honest with people. There is not any money to pay off the pensions. I mean, we've made all the promise to the people as far as Medicare and as far as Social Security, and there's no money there. So we should really be honest with people and let them understand that there's not going to be any money there so that they can begin making preparations on their own. It's going to take them some time to begin preparing, but people are not going to be able to retire at 65 as they traditionally have. They're going to have to start making preparations. We should let them know that. And then he talked about there could be some serious economic consequences to what we're doing. And I think it's important that people understand how the economic cycle works. First of all, if you want to expand the economy, you cut the interest rates, you throw a lot of money into the system. You create it out of nothing, but there's a lot of money out there, and everybody can buy and sell, and that's great. And then you really want to stimulate the economy, you have a massive tax cut. But when things begin to get out of hand, then, of course, you've got to slow down the economy. So you've got to raise the interest rates. You've got to then do away with those tax cuts. And then, of course, you have to cut back on the issuance of money. However, during this last cycle, seeing inflation, and of course, the inflation figures, you have to understand how they make up these figures. And they make up the figures. That's what they do. They say, what's the rate of inflation? Well, let's not consider food, and let's not consider energy, and let's not consider housing or medicine. We'll consider, well, what you buy at Walmart, and those things certainly aren't going up that much, so there's no inflation. 2% inflation, 3% inflation, that's all there is. Well, now, of course, now recently they've had to factor in the energy costs, and so they admit that we're up maybe 3.5%. They're lying. It's probably close to 10 or 11% inflation. They know that, but they don't want the American people to know. And so faced with this runaway inflation, what have they done? Why, they've raised the interest rates. Exactly the right thing to do. But they flooded our economy with money, which is absolutely the wrong thing to do. And Alan Greenspan has said, we are in uncharted waters, and we really are. Never before has the federal bank, the central bank, the privately owned central bank that controls our money system and the economic future of our country been in the situation where to fight inflation, they poured money into the situation. There's serious consequences as far as the future and stability of the dollar is concerned. How do you feel about that, Ron?
Well, I think that's right on target. Again, it's just a Ponzi scheme. Try to think of anything over the last 20, 30 years that tried to fail. I'm talking about a big institution or a country where the Fed and the World Bank doesn't come to the rescue because they have to keep the system growing. And it's really that simple. So you can almost predict where we're going. I mean, try to picture for a moment the pension plans collapsing, which they're bankrupt by any measure you want to make. That would just bankrupt the whole country overnight. So do you think there's any doubt that the Fed would step in and bail out the pension plans if they tried to collapse, or if GM tried to collapse, or Ford Motor Company? Remember Chrysler a few years back when they collapsed, they came to the rescue, didn't they?
Well, of course, the thing is, are they going to come to the rescue? Right now, General Motors is on the ropes. They're losing money every year. Ford is on the ropes. They're losing money every year. And they're talking, about cutting back on their salaries dramatically, just as Delphi, the auto parts supplier, has lowered their offer for wages from $25 an hour to $9 an hour. For people who've been used to making, well, with benefits, $25 an hour, with benefits up to $68 an hour, with their pension benefits and health benefits. And they're going to scale them back to $9 an hour and scale back all of these other benefits as well. And certainly turn over their responsibility for their pension fund to the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation that doesn't have any money. It's certainly an extension of our federal government. They're simply going to have to print the money to keep that thing going. They're already $30 billion in debt, and they're facing debt somewhere between $500 billion and $1 trillion as the corporations begin to default systematically on their pension funds. And I think that's really what Alan Greenspan was saying in his speech, that people better understand that when you go to retire, there's not going to be any money there. And we've got to tell people what lies ahead so they can begin making preparations. Now, he's not going to come out and put it quite as bluntly as we are, but we are in real trouble as a nation because we've turned our back on all sense of sanity. We've gone into fiat money system, and as Aristotle had said, and I've quoted him before, but he needs to be quoted again. There's absolutely nothing wrong with a fiat money system as long as you have perfect authority and godlike wisdom in kings. And isn't it wonderful to know we have godlike wisdom in the White House today? Well, I really think that, of course, we're seeing increasingly our central bank is beginning to lose control of what's going on. And a lot of the countries throughout the rest of the world don't want to go along with our system anymore. Certainly, the president had terrible problems when he was in South America this last week. And a lot of the countries there are simply saying, we're not going to go along with this. Hugo Chavez is leading a revolt on the part of the countries against America's globalist policies. And certainly over in India, although the government's going along with it, the people aren't going along with it. The people don't believe in fiat money. They're buying gold and diamonds. And the same thing is happening in China and Japan, where the people are a lot smarter, even though the government, of course, is in a fiat money system, controlled by our central bank in the world central banking system. If enough people throughout the world turn their back on this system, what's going to happen, Ron?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that the United States is being slowly removed as the world's reserve currency. And when you lose that status, then you've lost your ability to borrow from the rest of the world. And we're dependent on foreigners to finance at least 40% of our ongoing expenditures, and that is going to stop once we're eliminated as the world reserve currency. To kind of get a picture on how they, you're always amazed at how the Fed and the government can pull rabbits out of their hat and keep the game going a little bit longer. I remember back in the late 70s when we were having the blow off in inflation, the Jimmy Carter years and the Johnson with guns and butter, and inflation finally ran its course, and gold went through the roof, went to $870 an ounce, and silver was at $52 an ounce, and interest rates were running 21.5%. And I remember thinking at the time, there's nothing they can do to get through this mess. Well, they did something, didn't they? And if you go back to 1982, after Ronald Reagan had taken control, and they were trying to get control of inflation. That's when they brought in Paul Volcker to get things under control. That's when they raised interest rates, like you were talking earlier, to get the economy back under control. And by June of 82, there was rampant talk around the country of a 29-style depression. We were heading towards a serious depression. And I remember President Reagan, on June the 21st, came out and made a speech. And basically what he said is, damn the torpedoes, folks. We're going to print our way out of this mess. And the whole market saw that very quickly. And they started pumping money into the system to create an economic recovery. And so as they did that, then we went into inflation.
And, of course, we'll be back in just a moment here with Ron Brown. They did, of course, print their way out of it. But now what are we going to do? I mean, we're already in an inflationary spiral. And what are they doing? And it's faced with an inflationary spiral. We're printing more money. Doesn't make sense. Unless, of course, you want to direct the economy. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Ron Brown, and we're just talking about what's happening. And certainly, faced with an inflationary spiral, what we should be doing is contracting the amount of money out there, shouldn't we, Ron?
Well, we should, but again, we've created such a massive debt structure. If you ever start it downhill, it will implode into a black hole, and because you don't have any money. Everything is debt. And if you ever start downhill, the bond market collapses, and therefore the savings of everyone is wiped out. There's no money for building. Everyone has to pull in the horns. Consumption just comes to a total halt. We go into a massive depression. So it's kind of like a high wire act. You know, if you're up on a 6-foot ladder and you fall, you might sprain an ankle. And if you're up on the second floor and you fall, you might break an ankle. But if you're 64 floors high, then you can't afford to come off, can you? And that's where we are. We cannot afford to come down from this high. We have created such a massive debt structure that any attempt to go back to normalcy would create a panic and a collapse. And that's what they're afraid of. But go back to 1982, I was talking. At that point, see, if the United States was to go into a major recession, which we were, but you've heard the old saying, when the U.S. catches a cold, Europe gets pneumonia. The whole world is totally dependent on trade with the United States at that point. They desperately needed to trade with us, and if we had gone into a serious recession, we couldn't have been importing their goods, and they would have gone into a depression. So that's when we came up with the idea of the strong dollar and inflation and created consumption in America. The dollar was getting stronger, so foreigners wanted to trade with us, and they would take the profits from their trade and do what? Reinvest that money into U.S. Treasury bonds and U.S. investments. And since the U.S. was in a boom, it was a very good investment for the people, so everything was hunky-dory, and we just went into this 18-year economic boom. But at some point, that artificial thing has to come to an end. See, and now at this point, the foreigners who have accumulated all these massive dollars over the last 20, 30 years, and the dollar is now starting to go downhill, now they're not so happy to keep holding on to those dollars, so they're wanting to get out. And so now we're threatening another collapse of the system. And, you know, to keep it going in the late 90s, they created the dot-com bubble boom. Remember, the stocks were just going up tremendously, creating massive amounts of money in the circulation, and when that bubble popped in 2001, they had to come up with another bubble to replace the money that was being destroyed in the NASDAQ and you know, the dot-com bubble. So what did they create? They created Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and said, go to it, and they started the real estate bubble. They have pumped literally trillions of dollars into the economy just through mortgages and finances. How many jobs have been created in the real estate boom? You know, building new houses, new real estate brokers. I was reading somewhere there's 1.2 million real estate brokers in America now, making over $60 billion in commissions. So they have created another bubble to put off the day of reckoning. But you can't fool Mother Nature forever. And now you're seeing the cost of materials go up. You're seeing the living standards of America are dropping as people are being laid off. I was just reading where this came out in April 2004.
Hold that thought right there in just a moment, Ron.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ron was simply saying how they had created this whole 18-year economic boom. And it was really all done totally artificially. First of all, they created the stock market boom and the dot-com boom, and a lot of people made a lot of money on that. There was no money there, but it was all artificial assets with nothing actually behind it. And then when that collapsed, they had to create the housing boom, and they did that by giving Freddie Mae and and Freddie Mac, just free reign and all sorts of money to pour in and low interest rates, and it was wonderful. And of course, everybody's buying houses and second houses. And you buy a house, it goes up in value, and you sell it, and you make a profit. You buy two more houses and you sell those, you make a profit. And people have been getting all sorts of money, and people have been buying on their, the value of their home. And a lot of people have been living on the asset value of their home. And they simply pay low interest rates on it. It's a wonderful scheme. The only trouble is there's absolutely nothing behind it. It's all banking entries. It's a fiat money system. And now we're coming to the day of reckoning. So pick up the story there. What were you saying, Ron?
Yeah, in the meantime, you know, as all this is happening, all of our jobs are going overseas. In this article in U.S. News and Report, it was saying since Bush took office till March of 2004, 1.8 million jobs had been destroyed, had been eliminated. So if people are losing their jobs and they're not making, their incomes are not keeping up with the cost of living, which is now starting to accelerate to the upside, and the housing bubble can't go on forever, where is the money going to come from to keep this consumption going? And our whole economy is built on consumption. So we're heading towards a precipice, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do to try to put off the day of reckoning. And I think we're running out of time. We're running out of rabbits.
Well, you know, I think it's very interesting that most countries in the world, everybody's not buying, frantically going down to the store. In fact, in most countries, people are very frugal. And they haven't been able to get the Japanese to spend their money. In fact, the Japanese have been saving their money because, well, you know, and they've simply been salting it away or putting it into gold, things of that sort, because they're not getting any interest in the bank. The interest rates in Japan are 0 to 1%. So, I mean, but the people are not spending their money. They're not spending. Some people in China are spending their money, but some people there are saving their money. And the same thing is true in India. Their economy is booming. But the people are not simply going out and buying a lot of things that they don't need to, because people throughout the rest of the world are much more frugal than people here in the United States or in Europe, where everything has been done to encourage just spending and spending and buying and buying and buying a lot of things that you really don't need. The problem is that the average American has no savings. He has a pension fund, but of course that pension fund is dependent upon the level of the stock market. If the stock market goes down, their pension fund goes down. And the average American really doesn't have any savings. If you want to, for instance, have an income of, say, $3,000 a month when you retire, you've got to have $500,000 invested, you know, in something that's going to give you a permanent income. Unfortunately, the average individual doesn't have a $500,000 investment. And just try living on your Social Security, especially when, as Alan Greenspan said in his November 3rd speech, and you get it and you read the end of that, there's no money there for paying all the promises that the government has made as far as health care, as far as pensions. And we better let people know what lies ahead. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. You need to get the things we talk about. You need to understand the sound foundations of an economy. And certainly Ron has some excellent things on it. We have a DVD entitled The Coming Financial Crisis, and we have a little pamphlet called The History of Money. And I think it's vitally important that people get this sort of material and understand that there's nothing new under the sun. Now, this happened in ancient Greece, happened in ancient Rome. It's happened hundreds of times down through the centuries, where politicians have made it very good for themselves by spending money that did not exist to buy the support of the people so they could get reelected. But eventually, the day of reckoning comes. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question, a comment, if you agree or you disagree. But we put these programs on to warn people. You've got to begin preparing for difficult times. Would you agree with that, Ron?
Absolutely. And most people are not prepared for it because they've been miseducated in school, and they've been miseducated every day when they turn on the TV and listen to the business news.
And so many of the programs on MSNBC and the others are not going to tell you the truth. I would suggest economists like Paul Craig Roberts, who's one of my favorites. or Stephen Roach. These are people who really have a grasp of what's going on, and I think are giving the straight scoop. Stephen Roach, senior economist at Morgan Stanley. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Ron Brown, and we're talking about what's happening economically in our country today. And I think it's so vitally important that people do not take what they read in the newspapers as valid. There's a conscious effort to confuse us as to what's going on, and to think that the good times are going to go on, that they're going to pull a rabbit out of the hat, or that, you know, that there's nothing to worry about. After all, the other men who run the Federal Reserve System are going to take care of us, without understanding that they are going to take care of themselves. They are going to make sure that they know what lies ahead, and they're making preparations for financial chaos in America. I really believe that. I believe that they know exactly what's going to happen when this whole economic bubble collapses, because we are totally dependent on foreign countries like China and Japan and the central banks of Europe to support our economy. And when they withdraw their support, which they are going to sooner or later, why, hang on to your hat. Certainly we will have, you know, money, but what's going to happen to that money? It's going to rapidly lose its value. And the people who are making their plans for their future based upon the stability of currency don't understand there's absolutely nothing behind our money today other than the integrity of George W. Bush. So pick up the story there, Ron.
Well, you know, it's the biggest confusion to most people is we think of a dollar as a dollar. You mentioned before we went to break you had $500,000 to take care of your pension. Well, that might work today, but what's going to be happen 5-10 years from now, if we keep going into the inflation that we're heading into, $500,000 won't even touch it. I was reading an article this evening talking about a lady who retired in 1969 with a very comfortable pension, and she lived to be 95 years old. Well, that pension was a fixed income, and what's happened to the cost of living in those 35 years, every year her standard of living goes down and down and down. So if you retire with a minimal pension now, you better die quick, because you're going to run out of money to keep it going. And that's the problem. Most people are not prepared to cope with what's happening, because they're going to keep the printing press rolling. They're going to keep the stock market going up a little bit, because they cannot allow it to collapse. But even though it's going up in nominal terms, your income is not going to be keeping up with the cost of living. And, you know, a year or so ago when I was on your show and...
Hold that thought there for just a moment as we bring our other stations right back on. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Ron Brown. And of course, before we get back to what we were talking about during the break, why, Ron, I want you to get your telephone number out. And I know people do contact you, but you do have some information on this subject for them, don't you?
Surely. If anyone would like to talk to me or just like to get some information, give me a call at 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561.
All right, and you have a packet there that you send out, don't you? I mean, I remember reading that about a year ago and thinking, boy, that's pretty well done.
Well, to me, it's so important for people to see the big picture. You know, we get so caught up in the trees and the forest and all the things that are happening from day to day, and it gets so confused about, are we inflation, are we in deflation, you know, are we in a boom, are we in a recession? And sometimes it helps just to step back and look at the big picture, how the monetary system works, and how we got to where we are, so therefore you can get a little bit of a picture of what you need to do to try to protect yourself from what's coming down.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. You know, there are a lot of people who have government pensions, and they figure, well, you know, I don't have to worry because I got a government pension. What people don't understand is the government pensions are underfunded, just like most corporate pensions. But the difficulty is that what do governments do when they don't have enough money to pay their pensions and they're locked into not being able to increase the taxes? Now, what has happened here as far as the government is concerned here in the state of California? Why, the government employees union have put a lot of money into electing senators and assemblymen who voted a very, very large pensions for government employees and for themselves, of course, as well. And the same thing has happened in municipalities. This is what happened in San Diego. San Diego, the local unions got their people elected to city and county offices, and they gave massive pensions to retired police officers and fire officers and people working fire protection. Today, San Diego is bankrupt. They have a $1.4 billion, that's B-billion dollar, a deficit, and there's just no way to get out of that. And if they try to fund their pensions, why, there's not enough money there. So what are they possibly going to do? And what the average individual doesn't understand is that when government doesn't have any money and it has no other access to funds, in other words, it can't raise taxes, why, it starts laying people off and it quits paying their pensions. So you better not necessarily figure your pension is going to be there. And that's really, in many respects, what Alan Greenspan is saying. Get hold of his November 3rd speech and read it and understand that Alan Greenspan is saying, let people know, and of course he's talking about the government pensions, the Social Security and Medicare, but let people know that there's no money there so they can begin making preparations now. Well, let's go to Ray, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi,
yeah,
hi, Ray, how are you doing?
Pretty good. I'm on Social Security, okay, and the fixed income, but it goes up a little bit every year, but it's supposed to go up 4% this year. And I wanted your guest to, I wanted him to explain to me what's his plan for this private accounts, and what that means and what that's all about.
All right, fine. Do you want to take go into that, Ron?
And to make
I think it's the private. It's a private. You're talking about the private Social Security account,
right? What does that have to do with payroll taxes and the stock market?
All right, go ahead. And why don't you talk about that, Ron? Then I can comment on.
Well, I think it, in my opinion, it's just another attempt to pump some new money into the stock market,
yeah,
to keep it propped up. The stock market is trying to collapse of its own weight. And so they need to figure out a way to pump new money into the system and then sound like they're coming out to help people, saying the stock market's been going up, so let's put your Social Security money into,
yeah,
into the stock market and it's going to go up. Well, what happens if we have a stock market crash? So to me, it's something that maybe should have been done 30, 40, 50, 70 years ago. We should have never had a Social Security thing anyway. I mean, if we were going to have it, it should have been your own personal account, and your savings went into an account that was earmarked for you, not just going into a general fund,
yeah,
which is totally spent. So we have no money in that Social Security system.
It's and Ray, I think you have to understand, first of all, this would not have affected you. It was all for younger workers who have the option,
right,
of either staying in Social Security or going into the private accounts. And
yeah,
of course, theoretically, yeah, this is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
But they tried this in Chile, and you talk to the people, oh, it really worked well in Chile. Well, what they did in Chile was, it was your account, but you had to invest with the various brokerage houses that the government picked for you. And these guys were making a 25% profit on your money. And so basically when the people got around to retiring and they thought they had all the money in there, it had been stolen by the stockbrokers because these people are as crooked as a stick. You know, the tragedy is, theoretically, it would work fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, you've got to trust the stock market. And mm-hmm, right now, the stock market, you saw what these people were doing. They were simply ripping off the investors and the Enron scandal,
oh, yeah,
and the Global Crossing scandal,
yeah. Yeah.
And the
Susie
scandal, and all of these things.
Yeah.
And, of course, it'll be a cold day in hell when Kenneth Lay of Exxon, a part of Enron, goes to prison.
Yeah, that's true. But, I fear for the future of the country, period. I mean, it's not just Social Security, it's everything. It's the whole thing. I think we're going to have judgment come upon us soon.
I think you're absolutely right.
I think Christ will return somewhere or another. I think we'll be judged.
I think that those words of Thomas Jefferson, I heard repeated them many times before, but as he said, I fear for my country, for if God is just, his justice cannot sleep forever.
Yeah, I believe.
Okay, God bless him. Ray, look, right now, just help us get the word out. You can't change anything yourself, but you can help us educate others so they can at least begin making some preparations for the difficult times that are coming.
Okay, thanks.
God bless. Let's go to Jim calling from Missouri. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Hi, Jim. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Good evening.
Quick question, and I'll listen to your answer off the air. If, as Tom DeLay says, there is nothing in the budget whatsoever that can be trimmed out, isn't he being intellectually as well as perhaps other ways dishonest if he doesn't call for a tax increase, if there's truly nothing you can take out of this budget?
All right, fine.
I'll just listen off the air.
Thanks very much. Well, of course, the thing is that Jim's point is Tom DeLay says we've just nothing we can take out of the budget. Well, then if that's true, shouldn't we be having a tax increase? How would you respond to that?
Well, we're trapped in a system. The reason you can't trim the budget is because everything is, it's locked in where we can't.
It's locked in, right.
We can't reduce it. So, I don't buy that. I think there's lots of ways they could cut the pork out of it, but again, it's part of keeping the system going, building jobs through pork, through everything else. So they have to keep the Ponzi scheme going. It's really that simple. And they can talk about cutting. You can talk about tax reform, but until you eliminate the idea that the government has to take care of everyone, you're going to always need more and more money.
Well, I think that Tom DeLay says there's nothing they can do about the cutting the budget. He's just not being truthful. There is a story, and this is a true story. Senator Stevens from Alaska is always getting money for his state, and they are building a bridge. It's a bridge. It's going to cost $250 million to build a bridge to an island where there are 50 people on it. Now, somebody had pointed out that it would be cheaper to actually buy everybody on the island a Learjet than to build this bridge. It's called the Bridge to No Place. $250 million, $240 million to build a bridge to an island with 50 people on it. I mean, what sort of logic is that? Well, of course, it's simply, if you don't go along with it, that, why, Senator Stevens will block any effort you want for money for your state. And what you have in Washington, D.C. is a degree of corruption that is just so absolutely absurd. I mean, there's something like $26 billion in pork in the highway bill, and it is pork. It is simply vehicles by which money is being funded into useless projects all across the country to make the senators and the congressmen look good. That's how the way the system really works. What we should do is simply saying that you will not have any appropriation for anything that is unconstitutional, and you would cut about 80% of what we have in the budget today. Social Security is unconstitutional. Medicare is unconstitutional. Education is unconstitutional.
Welfare is unconstitutional.
Right down the line, then everything we're doing is unconstitutional. It is not the function of the federal government to build highways all across our country. That is the function of the state. And besides that, we put all this money into the highway bill, and then they steal it and they use it for other things, for themselves. And believe me, they got great pension funds for the retired congressman, and great health care for the retired congressman. A retired president gets, I think, $180,000 a year, and another $90,000 for his offices, and then he gets free postage. I think Jimmy Carter spent about $40,000-$50,000 a year just on postage, and they get free transportation, and they get free jet travel all over the country, and they get all of these special benefits and free health care just for having been the president of the United States. And, of course, they say, well, we want to take good care of them because we wouldn't want them to be dishonest. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got people there who are on the take all the time. President Clinton got $10 million for the book that somebody wrote for him. $10 million. And he got another $100,000, I think almost $1 million, $800,000 this year in speaking fees. That's how you pay them off after they get out of office. Do you really think that Bill Clinton's speeches are so invigorating they're worth $800,000? No, this is simply how you you pay the for services rendered. All of our politicians, I fear, are corrupt because certainly power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely everyone.
You know, there was my hero in Congress was Congressman Larry McDonald. I'm sure you know of him. And he used to have, for his whole staff, that if any bill that we're reviewing, the first thing you do is go back and say, is this bill constitutional? And I don't care if we want it or not. If it's not constitutional, we will pass it. I mean, we will vote against it. And that was his philosophy. And, you know, it's a shame we don't have more people that say, hey, you know, no matter what the people want, if it's not constitutional, then we can't do it.
You know what happened to Congressman Larry McDonald?
Absolutely.
And for our listeners out there, he was on Korean Flight 007. He was targeted. They wanted to kill him. And with the full support of our government, we've never demanded accountability. We've never asked to see the wreckage of the plane. We've never asked to see the bodies. In fact, there weren't any bodies. There were a few children that were blown out in the back, but the rest of the bodies were never recovered. And there are many, many people. We even have a four-tape set on a Flight 007. We've got the secret government records that came out of the Foreign Committee, Senate Committee on Foreign Relations. The plane was landed in the water. The people were taken captive, and Larry McDonald and the others were taken to prisons, and they've been kept there ever since. And our government has never tried to get Larry McDonald back any more than we've tried to get back the prisoners of war we'd abandoned during the Second World War, and during the Korean War, and during the Vietnam War. We just turned them over to the communists, and of course most of them are long since dead after being horribly, horribly tortured. Larry McDonald, I firmly believe that he was taken prisoner, and if you listen to the four-tape set, we have a book on the downing of 007, and we have the suppressed secret government files on that. And you know, I open my program every day with a statement reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And those were the paraphrasing of the words of Larry McDonald, which is why I use them, but most people don't know that. Now, somebody has just called in, Ron, and wanted to know if you thought we might end up with a fax tax or a national sales tax. And what are they going to do with the alternative minimum tax? You know, that was just for the very wealthy. It was only for the very wealthy. You know, there's some millionaires that are not paying their fair share of taxes. We've got to have the alternative minimum tax. And suddenly, we find it's a tax on the middle class of America. How could that have happened? How could they have been so foolish? Or maybe it was simply a vehicle for raising our taxes, while, of course, George Bush got all the credit for lowering our taxes.
Well, you know, there's lots of ways to skin a rabbit, and the bottom line, as I said earlier, until you change the definition of what government is supposed to be doing, as long as the government is a socialist provider for everyone, you're going to have tax the people, and you can disguise the way you tax it in many different ways. You know, the only thing that makes sense in the new proposals is this sales tax, which, if it was done properly, would take away the need for an IRS to snoop in everyone's business all the time. You would just pay your taxes as you spent. That would make a little sense. But again, unless you change the role of government, you're just going to have more and more money taxed away from the people.
And, of course, now we've got the war in the Middle East. It's never going to end. We're not going to pull our troops back. We've never intended to pull them back. We've always intended to keep them permanently stationed there. And if you doubt that, you go to the Project for the New American Century website. That's newamericancentury.org. And who was in the Project for the New American Century? Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, John Bolton, Paul Wolfowitz, a fellow named Scooter Libby. Scooter Libby. Now, there were only 26 people. 28 people, actually, in their 25 people in the original organization, and all of those were part of that. They run our government. We don't have an elected government. We have our elections every 4 years, and we elect the candidates of their choice, and the people in the Project for the New American Century control our government today. But you can go to their website, newamericancentury.org, pull down Rebuilding America's Defenses. That's Rebuilding America's Defenses, and you read that thing through, you'll find out the plan is to keep our troops permanently stationed in the Middle East. But you have to understand that what's going on in the Middle East is really a diversion to take our attention away from what's happening here at home. We are not threatened by Osama bin Laden. Osama bin Laden is not going to take away our freedom. Our government is going to take away our freedom in the name of fighting Osama bin Laden. You remember when the President of the United States promised he was going to get Osama bin Laden, dead or alive? Why aren't we trying to get Osama bin Laden? Recently, Portugas was questioned by a group of reporters, and they said, do you know where Osama bin Laden is? And he said, yes. Next question. And they said, no, where is he? Tell us where he is. Oh, well, I can't tell you where he is. It's very diplomatic. And oh, we can't go after him. And ladies and gentlemen, they're not trying to get Osama bin Laden, because we need him there to justify taking away our freedom here at home. And we're going to be back here in just a moment to wrap up the program again. Ron, let's get out your telephone number one more time.
1-800-595-0561.
One more time.
1-800-595-0561.
We'll be right back here in just a moment with Ron Brown to wrap up this evening's program. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, this program will be rebroadcast on the Here's Help radio network here in a couple of weeks. So if you do hear the program, why, of course, won't do you any good to call in because this is be delayed rebroadcast. But for those of you who are listening this evening, I think it's, you know, it's fascinating. I always enjoy having Ron with us because he gives us a very good overview of what's happening. Ron, what do you think people should be doing at the present time?
Well, I think we're heading towards a fork in the road, and the people who take the right path are going to prosper from it as best as we can in a collapsing society, but the people who take the wrong fork could get wiped out. And that is that the value of the dollar, the paper money system, is collapsing, and in just a matter of time, the dollar is going to get almost obliterated over the next 5-10 years. So the people who leave their investments tied up in paper are going to fail miserably, and they're not going to be able to keep up with what's happening. People who put their money in gold and silver and other commodities are going to have a chance of protecting themselves in the future.
I agree with you, and I think the people have to begin at least listening to what we have to say and making their decisions accordingly. You've got to get out of money, and you've got to get into something that is tangible, that has inherent value. The trouble is, right now, property is overvalued. There may be a few stocks that are good, but most of them are overvalued. Look at the price-earnings ratio and see what's happening to the major corporations here in America. And you're finding even IBM is having difficulty. They had to sell off their computer, their PC business to communist Chinese. And the communist Chinese are coming in here and buying up all sorts of our industries and simply packing them up and taking them back to China. America's in real trouble economically because of poor judgment, but I also really fear that America's in real trouble because America's turned against God. And there's no instance in all history where a nation has turned against God, where God has not eventually turned against that nation. And once again, I would reiterate those words of Thomas Jefferson. They're engraved on the Jefferson Memorial back in Washington, D.C. God, who gave us life, gave us liberty, but can the liberty of a nation be secure when the conviction has been forgotten that liberty is the gift of God? I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice cannot sleep forever. Ron Brown, thanks very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure.
Good being with you, Dr. Stan.
Good night. God bless. We'll talk to you again here real soon.
Okay.
Of course, that was Ron Brown, and does help Radio Liberty, but I think he's got some great ideas, and I always enjoy having him. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We're dependent on those of you who listen to us to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day. And then our weekend program, going to somewhere in the neighborhood of 36 programs, and we just actually picked up 3 additional stations. We'll be signing a contract for that today. And, of course, we'll be covering about a third of the state of Arizona and 3 different stations there. But little bit by little bit, we're gradually expanding our coverage across America. And we do need your help if we're going to continue doing what we're doing. Because behind everything that's going on today are powerful spiritual forces. Now, you can go up to our website at radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. And read through our newsletters, and you'll find certainly a number of articles there going into the occult forces. Yes, and the secret societies and the ancient mystery religions and their modern-day manifestations. And organizations like the Lucis Trust, we used to be known as the Lucifer Publishing House, that exists today, and its people are in key positions in every aspect of our government. So you need to find out what's really going on. Go to our website at www.radioliberty.com. If you'd like to get information about Radio Liberty or would like to help us, our number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to find out about the DVD we were talking about called The Coming Financial Collapse, or our pamphlet called The History of Money, and of course it goes into the occult forces behind the whole monetary system and takes you back to the Knights Templar and explains how it was that Francis Bacon, who was the leading occultist of Great Britain in the early 1600s, actually pushed the idea of usury, which then became the basis of banking, and of course in 1694, why the Bank of England was created, which became the prototype of all the central banks of the world today. And there's a lot of confusing about the central banks, and they will tell you a lot of faulty information to throw you off the track as to who is really behind this. But there are powerful spiritual forces behind this whole world banking system, because it is intent upon bringing about a one world government and a new world religion. And there's a tremendous hatred there of both Judaism and Christianity. And you better understand the spiritual forces that are aligned against the forces of freedom, if you have any hope of surviving the difficult times that lie ahead. So our plea is, go to our website at radioliberty.com. You can listen to our radio programs there 5 hours a day. That's www.radioliberty.com. And then, of course, we hope that you'll pull down our newsletters and read those newsletters, and you'll begin to get insight into what's really going on. If you'd like a free copy of our latest newsletter, it's called Peak Oil 2. That's Peak Oil 2, and it will introduce you to the scam that has been perpetrated on the American people that were running out of oil. And the price of course, natural gas is going up. Your utility rates will be going up somewhere between 40% and 70% this year. Here in California, it'll be much higher than the rest of the country. And it's all a scam. It's all aimed at lowering your living standards. It's part of the master plan laid out in the Earth Charter. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, because we're on the front lines of this battle. And so until we're together again, may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They have to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us Paul Walter, and Paul and his wife Lorraine publish newswithviews.com. And if you haven't been to their website, you really should go there. News with Views actually gets 20 million hits a month. Now, that puts it up right up with one of the leading internet sites in the entire country. In fact, what are the best internet sites to get, Paul?
Pardon me?
How many hits do the best internet sites get?
Oh, I'd say we're probably around 20, 25 million, and we're growing daily.
Well, I mean, you do such a great job there of the articles, and I want to tell you how much I appreciate your running my article on Peak Oil 1, and we want to get up the article on Peak Oil 2 before too long, as soon as I get a chance to get through it. We've got a conference this weekend, so I'm pretty well tied up until then, but it's so important that people understand that this whole thing is a scam. But the average American can't believe it, because they would expect that they would hear the truth from the media, and they're certainly not getting it, are they?
They most certainly are not. Well, that's why there was an AP Wire story not long ago how the mainstream press is down anywhere, their circulation is down anywhere from 3%, somewhere as high as 20%. I remember that the San Francisco Chronicle was down 17%, according to this news source that I was reading, and it's because they're biased, they're liberal, they take a twist on the news to lead their readers to a foregone conclusion that they want them to reach, instead of just reporting the news and let the reader come to his own conclusion of what he thinks reality is. The newspapers lead them to the reality that they want them to lead to, which is usually a biased twist on it. I see that with our own newspaper here in Southern Oregon, where I live.
And that's, of course, why it's so important that people go to Paul's website, newswithviews.com. All sorts of fascinating articles that give you an entirely different twist on what's going on. Don't you find many of those articles that you post fascinating?
They are. I mean, we're basically on cutting edge. We'll be breaking a story tomorrow night as to how people voted on measure, I believe it was measure 37 here in Oregon, which really... What the measure was about, I mean, I don't have the bill in front of me here, but I can kind of give you a gist of it. It was about that if government passes certain laws that, let's say that you bought a certain property with certain promises that you could do, and then all of a sudden they pass this law that say you cannot do this and you cannot do that, and it values your property, that they have to basically compensate you and, pay you the difference. So because of their laws and their regulations and their rules that they've passed, your property is devalued, they have to pay you for that. Well, it stood for about, I guess, a year before they finally figured out how to get around it. I knew they would do that because they always do. They take it to court, that the whole thing is rigged, and of course the judge is told which way to rule, and the judge says it's unconstitutional, the measure was unconstitutional. And the judge got away with it. Well, of course, the judge is being recalled right now on this, and it's not the group that put the measure 37 or some other group is recalling the judge.
And I think it's important that we understand we've got some of the finest judges in this country that money could buy. And a lot of these judges are not just on what's right and wrong, constitutional and unconstitutional. Well, of course, they look for the green behind what's going on. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest here is Paul Walter, and we're talking about, his organization called newswithviews.com, and the fact that we have dishonest people. And Paul was just saying that they have judges up there which are simply circumventing the will of the people. The people vote on legislation, and the judge comes along and says it's unconstitutional. We saw that here in California with Prop 187, overwhelmingly voted on. It had to do with restricting rights for illegal immigrants here in the state of California that are costing us billions of dollars. It was backed by both the Hispanics and by Anglos, and it didn't matter how the people voted. One judge said it was unconstitutional. They tied it up for 5 years till Gray Davis was elected, and then he just decided to totally ignore the will of the people. But one judge can do that, and unfortunately we have people with their own agenda. And these people, either by threats of exposure for the corruption of other things they've done, or because they're in philosophy with it, or because they're simply bribed with promises of getting better jobs down the line, why, of course, they violate their oath of office. And when you have a society where we've removed any concept there's truth or right or wrong, we've removed the concepts of God, where there is nothing that is absolute, we deny the existence of absolute truth, should we be surprised when we have judges who are corrupt? Pick up the story there, Paul.
Well, the reason judges are corrupt because, see, they know they can get away with this. They, number one, the judges and the crooks behind who's telling the judge which way to rule, they know that the people don't have a far-fetched idea what their constitutional guarantees and rights are. They know that if they rule a certain way, people are not going to do anything. They know that the pastors are teaching a rose-colored sermons that, you know, you have to obey government authority, and, you know, a government can do no wrong. It's the same thing that happened 2,000 years ago with the scribes and Pharisees. It's the same thing today. And that's why they do that. And if this corruption will continue until the people have the belly full and they decided, well, we're going to do something, and either recall those things, or they recall the politicians who are not standing up to these judges. And until that happens, the courts are going to get corrupt, become corrupt. They're going to even become worse and worse and worse. And nothing will change. Everything will get worse. And what boggles my mind is that how people can allow this, to happen, and they still go to the Republican Party for answer. They go to the Democratic Party for answer. And both parties are controlled by the same group of people, or international bankers, whoever they are, and nothing changes.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be right back with Paul Walter. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Paul Walter, and Paul feels very deeply about what's going on, but maybe he appreciates the freedom we enjoy here more than most people, because Paul came from a totalitarian country. You wouldn't know it, Dick. He doesn't have the accent of a foreigner, but he came to this country from what country were you in, Paul? Paul?
Yes.
What country did you come from?
I was born in socialist, communist Yugoslavia.
Right, and of course, so he values freedom much more than the average American does. The average American has no idea that our freedom comes from God, that we were once a great and noble and moral people. But of course, that is simply remembrance of things past. We've abandoned God here in this country. All you have to do is watch television and see the parodies on Christianity and everything being done. We had a program, it was just last week, on the birth of Jesus. Everything was done there to undermine belief in the divinity of Jesus Christ. It was very clever, it was very subtle, but they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to understand. There is an organized effort to destroy the religious faith of our people, knowing full well if you do that, why, if you destroy the very essence of our freedom, because America, unlike any other country in the history of the world, acknowledge that our freedoms come from God. And that has been totally forgotten. It's not taught in our churches. It's not taught in our schools. It's never mentioned by our politicians. And what a tragic situation it is that we have to have an editor like Paul Walter and a retired orthopedic surgeon like myself to begin lecturing the American people about what America is really all about.
Well, you know, freedom is never sitting back and putting your feet up and relaxing. You know, as long as evil exists, and as long as evil people exist, evil exists inside people. And evil cannot exist inside animals or trees or flowers. It exists inside people. And as long as there are two types of, I call them two types of evil. Those who know exactly what they're doing, they're evil through and through, and you cannot help them. And there are those who bought a lie as the truth, and they're really not evil. I mean, they're just believe something. They believe that 2 and 2 is 5, for example, because someone told them that, and they swallowed that lie. And then they're turning around evangelizing it to others. But if you can wake them up and show them, then 2 and 2 is 4, not 5, you may bring them around. But there are those, like I said before, that they know exactly what they're doing, and you can't help those. Those are evil through and through, and you cannot help those. And they know that people are apathetic, and they're more interested in pursuing their happiness than to stand up. And freedom is an eternal vigilance. And as long as evil exists, freedom has to be an eternal vigilance. So people always ask me, well, what can I do? Well, there's a lot that people can do. I mean, you can you can tell people about Newsy Views or about Dr. Stan's radio. You can write letters to the editor on a particular subject in your paper. You can start an organization and run for office and get 50 people to run for the same office, whether it's city council or a county commissioner or a board of supervisors or whatever you have in your county, and especially if it's a small county in the rural area where you can make a difference. Yeah, I understand it's hard in Los Angeles or Denver or Chicago or some of the big cities because it's too, you know, millions of people, it's too big, you can't make a difference. But you can certainly make a difference in a small county with a small city. And I would get 50 people run for the same position and overwhelm the suckers. And one of you about to slip in. And when one of you gets in, then you turn around and you help another get in, another get in. Pretty soon you got the majority on the city council. And that's how you make a difference. It'll bring the country back. And it's not that hard. And besides, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to stand up to these crooks, especially if you don't get mad. You don't take anything personal. That's the whole secret to this. Don't take anything personal. So if they attack you, just let it go in one ear and out the other and let it roll off of you like water off a duck's back. And, you know, don't let anything stick. And that's it. And you just keep fighting. And I've never given up here. I've been doing this for, I would say, since early 80s, late middle 80s. I don't know, about middle 80s, I guess 85, 86 when I started standing up for what I believe in. And, you know, you just grow in character and you grow in stature and you become stronger and a stronger human being, and you become more enlightened and you understand more issues. And you know, even if a lot of people told me, well, I'm not good at talking in public meetings and talking here, well, you start small. Talk to 3 people, and then pretty soon you can talk to 5 people, and then pretty soon, next thing you know, you can talk to a room full of people, and you grow. And it's not that hard to do. And we've done it here. We got a commissioner here in our county finally, after 15 years of preaching to people there's a problem. They finally realize there's a problem. We got a commissioner, and whenever they slip something in that is not good, he blows the whistle on them. And now the other 2 commissioners are blackballing him. They won't invite him to meetings. They won't invite him to breakfast meetings. They won't invite him here because they know that they can't pull one on him. And he sniffs something out, and he turns around and goes public and blows the whistle on them what they're doing. So now they don't know what to do. He's become the most popular commissioner that we've ever seen in this county. In fact, people just love this guy because people love heroes. They love people with a backbone that stand for something. And that same thing could happen in your county or your city.
And you just got to care enough about freedom. And I think it was Pat, certainly Pat Buchanan, who said, you know, if we're going to take America back, we're going to have to start person by person, household by household.
Absolutely.
Block by block, precinct by precinct, city by city, county by county, state by state. And that's what we're going to have to do. And so it's going to have to start first with the individual. And that is our plea. Understand what this is about. You're going to have a personal relationship with the Lord, because you can't be effective in this battle because it's a spiritual battle. And you've got to have that protection. And then once you have that protection and knowledge, then you can start studying about our Constitution, learn about it, the foundations of our freedom, this wonderful form of government that we have, that was built upon the precept that all men were created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that governments were instituted among men to preserve those God-given rights. That's what our society was all about. And that's why they never teach it today. And that's why Christianity is under attack today. And that's why they have banned God and prayer from our schools and the Ten Commandments from our schools and the Ten Commandments from public display, and why they sometimes they'll allow it and sometimes they won't. It's all to confuse people. They don't want you to understand that there is an agenda, and it's aimed at confusing you so that you can't figure out what's going on. But I will tell you, there is a conspiracy against God. There are people in the highest places of our government who belong to secret societies, and the purpose of those secret societies is to destroy both the Jewish and the Christian religions. And when you understand that, it all makes sense. And when you begin to understand that we have probably between 2 and 3 million Masons in this country, and they're judges, and that certainly the Masons control the United States Supreme Court from 1941 to 1971. And during that time, they took God and prayer out of our schools because the purpose of Masonry is to destroy the Christian foundation of this country. When you understand that, and the fact that you've never heard that, reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Our guest is Paul Walter. Paul, let's talk a little bit about the book you have published, which we carry, and you carry as well, called The Coming Battle. Why don't you tell our listeners about this book? What was published back in 1895?
It was originally published in 1899 that my wife and I found, actually my son-in-law found in a garage sale, and he gave it to me, and my wife and I read it about, I don't know, it was early 90s, middle 90s, somewhere around there, when we first published this book, and I couldn't believe what I was reading. And basically what the book is, for those of your listeners who haven't heard this before, is how the international bankers took this country over as early as 1776, how they controlled the economy, how they create recessions and depressions and panics at will, how they demonetize silver, how they took gold out of U.S. Treasury and replaced it with worthless paper money, how they deliberately wanted the national debt, because Andrew Jackson believed that a national debt should not be passed on to our children, that the generation who creates the debt should be the generation that pays this off. They actually passed legislation to roll the debt over from generation to generation, resulting in what you're witnessing today, a mountain of debt. And I remember seeing a cartoon in the, it was in San Diego Union, and it was a stack of cards, a house of cards with a boulder on top. And the cars were starting to buckle. And that's how I see. That was a good example of a national debt, because the whole thing is going to collapse. Now, I know most of you heard this before, that a crash is coming. Crash is coming. I don't know if it's going to be this year, next year, or 2008. I don't know when. I can just see that it's coming, because they're going to collapse this whole economy. To out of the ashes will rise the global government, is what they want. But they want to do it all at the same time, and every country has to be ready. So when they collapse, the whole world collapses with it. And when they're going to do that, I don't know. All I know is it's coming. And the coming battle, basically, it's written by a man who was born before the Civil War. And at that time, Mr. Walbert, who wrote this, didn't know it was a conspiracy, because he didn't write this book as a conspiracy. He wrote this about the scoundrels who were in high places, bought and paid for. He talks about how your influential colleges and universities were infiltrated with people with a liberal slant. And I hear the music going.
All right, fine. And so I think it's vitally important that the American people understand that there is a long-range plan is being carried out here, and there are people who know exactly what's going on. And, of course, the whole idea of banking is to be able to create money out of nothing and then lend it to people and get them to pay you interest. It's one of the greatest scams in the world. They never tell the American people that. Who is the most important man in the United States? It's not the President of the United States. It's the head of our privately owned central bank. His main name now is Alan Greenspan, and he'll be retiring, and Ben Bernanke will come in. But our Federal Reserve System is not a branch of the federal government. It's a privately owned central bank, works in concert with all the other central banks of the world. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening. Certainly is Paul Walter from World Affairs Brief. And Paul is certainly going into the background of this book that was written by Mr. Wahlberg in 1899, talking about banking 106 years ago, and recognized what a fraud it was then and what a fraud it is. Of course, it's the same fraud today. Nothing has changed. Only, of course, this thing is going to collapse. Now, how can we say it's going to collapse? Well, I would simply quote Paul Volcker, and you can get his article. He wrote it in the Washington Post on April 10th of this year, 2005. Then you can go up onto Google, and don't go, of course, to AOL Google because it's censored, but go to the regular www.google.com and type in April 10th, Paul Volcker. And he says, you know, I don't know whether it's going to come sooner or later, or with a bang or with a whimper, but of course I fear there's going to be a financial collapse in America. And I think that if anybody should know of what's going on, it should be Paul Volcker. He was longtime a member of the board of Chase Manhattan Bank. He was the chairman of the Federal Reserve System for, I think, two more terms, and certainly was there until 1987, took us through that difficult time back in 1980, when, of course, he had to raise interest rates to 21 or 22% to keep the whole system from collapsing. And recently, we met a friend of mine, Joan Vian, over in Europe at a central bankers meeting, because he's still part of the central banking fraternity. And he told her, we did a very, very poor job. We're going to have to come up with a new system. And I'd like to suggest, as Paul does, we're going in to a cashless society where, of course, the value of everything you've worked for your entire life will be destroyed. So pick up the story there.
Well, you know, I was at a Wells Fargo today, talking to a guy who's in one of the big wigs at the local bank here in our branch. And I was telling him, you know, we sat down and chatted about the banking system a little bit, because he was doing, you know, he had a break, so he could sit there and chat with me a little bit. And I told him, I said, you know, I know how the whole system works. How when you borrow money for a car, let's say, for example, you sign a note, you sign there as a debtor and a creditor. Now, how in the world can you sign both places as a debtor and creditor, in other words, the lender and the borrower at the same time? Because the whole thing is a scam. So when you borrow the money, you're basically creating money, and they take that certificate that you signed when you bought your car, and they put it on a deposit, and they lend it out 10 times. And he said, yeah, that's true. He says, yeah, I've known this for years. He says, I you know, we don't tell public this, but, you know, it's the truth. The whole thing is a scam. And after a while, and I was telling him how I've got $20 bills stacked up here at home, and I do. I have a $20 bill from the 70s and late 70s and 80s and 90s and middle 90s and late 90s and the early 20s and now the latest one. And if you add them all up, the 20s from the 70s didn't have a strip in it. And then they put a strip in it, and then they put the president in a big picture, then they put the president on the left side, then they put the president with a circle on it, they took that off, then they started adding a little color to it. And now you got a $50 bill that just came out, the greenback is almost gone, there is no green hardly anymore on it, it's all colorful. And what they're really doing is creating money so it's colorful, just like Canadian dollar or the Mexican peso, so when you look at it from a distance, it all looks the same. And it's all colorful.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Paul Walter. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Paul Walter of World Affairs Brief, and he's simply pointing out how they're changing the appearance of our currency. Of course, the $20 that you have going back to 1970s. Would be worth about $60 today, because the value of our currency has gone down considerably since that time. So what you could buy for $20 in 1970 would cost you about $60 today. What you could buy with a dollar, you know, back in 1900 would cost you $100 today. They have progressively and intensely stolen from the American people. Just 3 or 4% a year, but gradually, little bit by little. They've destroyed the value of our currency. They know exactly what they're doing. They just want the public to know. Would that be a fair statement?
Absolutely. And they tell you, well, you know, every time they come up with a new currency, they tell you the same lie. And I'm surprised in telling you this lie. They wore this lie out. I was kind of surprised that they still keep telling the same lie, that they're not changing the lie. And the lie is that, well, we're coming out with new currency to stop counterfeiting. Well, how are you going to stop counterfeiting if you're not recalling the old currency? The old currency is still good. You can still spend a $20 bill that's made in the 1960s, the same as today. The only difference is as soon as the bank gets all of it, they'll send it back to the Federal Reserve, to the shredder, and they get rid of them. So it's not for counterfeit at all. All it is to fool the American people, because what they really want is a currency for the North and South America, which is going to be one currency, and eventually you're going to go to one world currency, and then you're going to go to the cashless society, and we're heading in that direction, because you won't even need cash anymore. There won't be any IRS either, by the way. So those of people that are out there fighting the IRS, there won't be any IRS, because there won't be any need for the IRS, because you get X amount of money. In fact, you won't even see the money. It will be electronically transferred into your account, and you'll could pay bills and stuff until all your money's gone, and then your credit card won't be good anymore. And that's what they're basically going to do. And eventually, you're going to have money put into your chip in your arm, and they just scan your arm, and you pay for it. And when the total is gone out of your account, that's the end of it. You won't be able to buy anything anymore. And then those who won't go along with the program won't be able to buy and sell. You won't be able to pay your mortgage payment. You won't be able to eat. You won't be able to buy and sell. You won't be able to pay your car payment. You're going to be a slave of the New World Order. And in fact, I was just reading on WorldNet Daily that EU is building a network of spy satellites. And this was on London Telegraph. And what they're doing is they're creating a spy satellite just like they're doing here to spy on their own citizens. So basically, the whole world is going to be spied to where there will be no escape for you. You're going to have to live on mushrooms and hide in the woods somewhere, because you won't be able to live in a city, because you're going to need to be part of the system to be in the city. But if you're part of the system, if you believe in the Bible, there's no salvation. So you're basically going to have some kind of a provision to, you know, basically withstand until the Lord comes.
I think it's so significant, Paul, that if you, you know the prophecies, you see these prophecies coming true. In fact, this is one reason that my faith is constantly, strengthened, because I see what is written in the Bible coming to pass. And I've read in their magazines, like the Humanist magazines and others, the fact that they tend to take us to a cashless society, and yet, of course, 2,000 years ago, why, of course, it was prophesied that there would come a time in the end times where you would neither buy nor sell, unless you wore the mark of the beast or be known by the number of his name. And that number is 666. And, of course, if you look at the emblem, the logo of the Trilateral Commission, three intertwining sixes. You look on the logo of the front of the book, The Aquarian Conspiracy, by Marilyn Ferguson, three intertwining sixes. You look at the logo of the World Futurist Society with certainly Marie Strong and Robert Strange McNamara and Barbara Marx Hubbard on the board of directors, a circle with three sixes on the periphery. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people, because that sounds so absurd. But these people understand the significance of the prophecies. But they happen to be the ones who are going to bring these things to pass, intentionally and maliciously, because, of course, they have a different God. And that, of course, is Lucifer himself. There really are people in the world today who worship Lucifer. And until you understand that, nothing in the world makes sense. When you understand that, everything makes sense. And if you haven't yet seen the videos, they sold their souls for rock and roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3, the 4, the 6-hour, 8, 10-hour versions. The information like this is so vitally important. If you go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, you can pull down our newsletters and read them or get them in booklet forms, and we will take you into the writings of the people who are in contact with the other dimension. In fact, I could mention my newsletters, The Occult Hierarchy, Part 2, That's the June newsletter this year. It's up on the internet at RadioLiberty.com, or give us a call, and we'll be glad to send you one right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Paul Walter, and Paul has simply been talking about the fact that increasingly you're going to see the American people regulated and forced to take a chip, and you'll not buy or sell unless you have that chip, and we're moving into a caste society. Do you agree with that, Paul?
Yes, and as I said before, the only way that people are going to be safe, and if they have a manageable county, is to basically take over the city council and the county commissioners and get decent people elected. And the only way you can do that is to get 20, 30 people run for one position and overwhelm the suckers and get in, and then get another one in and another one in until you get the majority. And then you make sure you got a decent police chief and a decent sheriff who understand what's going on. And because they can't control everything because they don't have enough manpower to count on your stupidity to do it for them. And speaking about the coming battle, it's in there. And I would urge everyone to order that book from Dr. Stan because it's a very important part of your library, because it's not a conspiracy book. It's a book that tells you the truth, the early history of the national debt of this country. And in there, it talks about how Napoleon III tried to unite Europe under a common currency. They're doing that now. The difference is, today they pulled it off. They couldn't pull it off in the 1800s because they didn't have the technology and the internet and, electricity and everything else that we need today to pull this thing off. They couldn't reach in all the places to fool the people. The only thing they had is newspapers, and they couldn't get it in every corner of the world, their lies. But with the internet and radio and television, they sit there and around the clock the lies are coming at you and the media is controlled. And they can pull this on you, and then, of course, the churches will infiltrate it with liars behind the collar who tell you that, God loves everybody and you basically put on your rose-colored glasses and let's forget about evil, let's just talk about relationship building and all this. And they pulled it off today, and today we're basically heading into that direction fast. And, anyone with half a brain can see that this country is worse today than it was even a year ago. That it's heading downhill fast, and we're heading into a total civil war, total breakdown of America. You can see that happening, and the only thing you can do is hunker down and run for office in your neck of the woods and make a difference and wake up as many people as you can in the process.
Well, I certainly agree that people should be involved, but before they're involved, they have to understand what's going on. From a philosophical point of view, from a financial point of view, from a spiritual point of view. So we're going to be back here in just a moment with Paul Walter right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Paul Walter from World Affairs Brief, and of course, if you...
newswithviews.com.
I'm sorry, newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com, and because you really need to go there. I go to newswithviews.com. I go to World Affairs Brief every morning, so forgive me for getting them mixed up. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Do you have a telephone number or anything else you'd like to get out there, Paul?
No, but the only thing I'd like to say is what DV pulled off, something good that we, I brought that to attention on your last show that I did a few days ago, how DV came up with an idea of
now,
how
this
to bring...
This is DV Kid, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, go
she
ahead.
She brought an idea of, and this is a brilliant idea, and in fact, she sold out everything in 24 hours or 2 days. It was completely sold out, and the new order is coming in, and I'll tell the folks in a second what it is. She saw that Dallas was, that when the hurricane was coming in, all the people were evacuated from the city of Dallas, and lines were like 50 miles long, all backed up. And she just said, here are the people who have nothing to do. All they got to listen is propaganda on the radio. There are people out there who are not online, who cannot read the internet stories because they don't have computers. There's truckers out there who are working you know, long haul truckers going from one point A to point B that don't have an internet in the truck. So she came up with an idea how to bring the internet to those who are not on the internet.
Well, now hold that just for a minute. I want you to tell them exactly what DV has done, and that she's got these CDs that are very available, very economically. You can't put the price out there, but people can call you and get that price, and we'll get let you put the telephone number out. But I want you to tell them what DV has actually come up with, which is an ingenious idea. So pick up the story.
Okay, well, we don't sell the video.
Right.
So people have to click on DV's article, and in there's a banner, and you click on the banner, and she will tell you how to do it. It's called One for the Road.
All right,
it's
fine. Really, so then you'd go to newswithviews.com and click on DV's banner, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And her banner will be up for another 20 minutes, and then her banner will go off because another tomorrow's stories are coming up. But you scroll down just a hair, and you'll see DV's name, and there is an article in there. It's called Another Week in Loony Land. That's her latest article that was up today. And when the picture disappears, just scroll down a little bit, find DV, and you'll see an article called Another Week in Loony Land. And click on that, and it's self-explanatory how to get in there. And it's a 3 DV CD set that you can pop in your CD player, and what she does is she reads articles that are by different writers. She will be contacting Dr. Stan and read one of your articles as long as she gets your permission, so people can read, and then she reads other articles, you know, by other writers that we have. So basically, instead of listening to radio and Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh, you can pop in a CD and she will read articles to you to enlighten you, to wake you up, to she'll pick one article from each of our writers that is the best that they have, and she will read that to you. So when you're driving down the road, you can listen to her reading an article. And it's a lot better than listening to dumb music. And it was so successful that she was just totally shocked. She sold all the CDs out, and she's basically giving it away at her cost, so she's not making a dime on this. And anyway, I don't know what the price is because we don't sell it. So you can just go directly, click on DV, and you'll find out how to do it. And it's great. She was telling me some people buy 10 or 15 of them, and they put them in. They give it to different truckers, or they give it to neighbors who are not on the internet, so they can listen to articles being read while they're going to work. Some of them commute an hour and a half each direction to work. And, you know, an hour and a half here, an hour and a half there, you got a captive audience for 3 hours, and they're getting enlightened, and we're waking them up with that, and it's working.
And I think what DV's idea is, that she's going to put together CDs at cost, so very inexpensive, and then, of course, you get them from her, and you give them to truckers or anybody else, and they can listen to them on their CD in their truck or in their car. And they're reading the articles off of News with Views. So a lot of people don't have an internet or don't have time to get on it, especially when you're working. But if you're driving, you can listen in. So go to DV's website. And DV's a very unusual person. I give her a lot of credit. In fact, she's going to be our speaker this weekend at our coming conference. Now, of course, it's too late to put your reservation in. Next year, well, if you want to come to our conference, you're going to have to put your reservation in earlier. But we're going to have DV down here, and she'll be telling our listeners about what's really going on in America, the people who are coming to our conference. So I think it'll be a great time. So I really congratulate her. Go to newsviews.com, click into DV's site, get hold of that, and help her get the information out. So now a listener had called in, and he wanted to know, what do you think about the riots in France? Were they designed in some way to herd the French people into accepting a European constitution or an authoritarian structure to their society in the name of fighting those wicked terrorists?
Well, the same thing what you see in Europe is going to come to the United States. And what's happening in Europe, see, European countries, especially France, England, Germany, they have colonies in North Africa. And a lot of these colonies, and some are in South America, are British colonies. They're like French Guiana, for example, which is in South America, of course. But a lot of these Arabs are coming across because they're basically French citizens. So they're coming across, leaving their country in North Africa, and coming across into France. The problem is, when these people come, they bring their culture with them. They bring the culture with them and bring the religions with them. Well, see, Christianity and Christian culture and Arab culture are not really the same. So what you have is a mix of culture. Now, what triggered it, I don't know. I was reading an article that two boys were running from the cops, and they got electrocuted, and that's what started it. So I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't think it's true at all. I think it's the explanation that they've got to give the people an explanation. But this is carefully coordinated. You don't get riots in 200 cities just spontaneously all by themselves, especially when a couple of dumb kids get themselves electrocuted, having nothing to do with the police. That is the cover story that is being used to explain to the French people, but it has nothing to do with truth.
Absolutely. And what you're witnessing today is you have mixed of cultures, you have illegal aliens coming across the border. In fact, the hypocrisy, I'm surprised that people still haven't caught on to this. They want to use U.S. troops to quarantine people for bird flu. And by the way, there's also an article up on WorldNet Daily how bird flu is... suicides are linked to bird flu. So in other words, I believe this bird flu shot is as phony as a $3 bill, and it's designed to poison people. So what they're going to do, they're going to scare you with the bird flu first, and then you're going to panic and say, gosh, I can hardly wait to get the shot. And then when you get the shot, the shot will get you sick, because there's a law that they're passing right now that's in front of the Congress and the Senate to basically hold pharmaceutical companies immune to prosecution, so they can make poisons and you can't sue them. So no matter how many people die as a result of a certain drug, they'll sweep that whole thing under the rug, and you will not even have the right to know how many people died as of certain drug that they've been dispensing.
Or a vaccine that they're giving. And for any of our listeners out there who want to understand the bird flu scam, let me suggest you get a copy of a book written by Tom Clancy close to a decade ago. It's called Rainbow Six. Rainbow Six, it's about a worldwide epidemic that is artificially created, and then the use of a vaccine to combat that epidemic that has a lethal poison in it, a lethal disease that is going to kill the vast majority of the world's population. As Tom Clancy says in the beginning of his book, this information that you have here is information the government doesn't want you to know. And this is his comment as he writes this book about sustainable development, about the whole global biodiversity program that is being pushed on the American people today and people pushed on the people of the world today. But it all has to do with an epidemic, and the fact that the danger is not from the epidemic. The danger is from the vaccine. And, of course, there's nothing to worry about the vaccine. If it's really safe, why are they passing legislation that says that if you are harmed by this vaccine or it kills you, you can't sue the vaccine manufacturer? Do you really feel safe, you know, taking a vaccine where the producer is held harmless? Would you feel safe going to a doctor if you couldn't hold him guilty if he were to intentionally kill you? I certainly wouldn't, and I've been a doctor, and I believe that, although I think that sometimes there are excesses of malpractice, I think that the patient has a right to be able to sue if they are intentionally harmed. But if the vaccine company intentionally harms you, if this new legislation goes through, you will have no recourse. And why are they so interested in getting this legislation through? And why are they so interested in frightening us to death about the bird flu? And, well, there are a lot of unanswered questions there, aren't there?
There are. You know, I was watching O'Reilly tonight. It was pretty good tonight. And for a whole hour, I must have had, I don't know, 5 or 7 commercials of popping pills. They were pill-pushing commercials. And when you listen to this commercial about this pill and that pill and this pill will cure this and this pill will cure that, but then at the end we'll tell you, well, yeah, there's side effects, and this pill, it'll cure this, but it'll cause 7 more problems. And that pill will cure that, but it'll cause 20 more problems. And how in the world can these pill companies afford these prime time commercials that God knows how many millions and millions and millions of dollars it costs? Why? Because they're selling the products like candy. People are out there dumb enough and they buy it, even though it tells you it's got 10 side effects. They still buy it, and those 10 side effects will cause problems, and you need more pills to solve those side effects, and it's a never-ending battle, and after a while you're going to have so many side effects that only God can cure you.
In fact, in Dr. Marshall Angel's book, The Truth About the Drug Companies, and Dr. Martha Angel was the former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, as a staff physician at Harvard University. But she comments that they spend as much money, or if not more money, on drug advertising than they do on drug research. So, you know, drug advertising and drug marketing than they do on research. So they're not spending that much on research. They're spending an awful lot to get you to take their expensive pills and blocking your ability to buy exactly the same medicine up in Canada at a third the price. So it really is a scam. But let's talk a little bit more about what's going on in France. I think it's so important for the American people to look effectively at what's happened in France. You had over 6,000 cars burned. You had, buildings burned down. You had some woman was pulled from a bus and doused with an inflammable liquid and set on fire. There were at least 10 police officers who were injured. Now, what did the French government do for this total state of lawlessness? Absolutely nothing. They waited 11 to 12 days before even putting in a curfew. And apparently they have arrested a few of the young people, but they're really, of course, they're not doing very much. Eventually they did put in the curfew, but why would you wait 10 or 11 days before
you put the curfew on?
Unless you wanted it to happen. And I think Paul's absolutely right. They've wanted that to happen. Now, why would they want that? Why, of course, now they've convinced the people of France that there's a real threat from terrorism and from Islamic terrorism, and they're going to have to give up their freedom, and we're going to have a lot more laws in France, to protect the people's freedom. And that's exactly what they're doing here in America. They're encouraging the illegal immigration. There's a wonderful article that I picked off the other day by Ernesto Sinfreguis, who's from La Voix de l'Atlant. If anybody would like to see it, it basically talks about what's going on in the United States, and we're going to see this. This is written by a Mexican nationalist who is obviously encouraging the taking back of California and New Mexico and Arizona and Texas by the Mexicans, and he's saying you're going to see exactly the same thing here in the United States. The article was published here just a couple of days ago. Anybody would like to see it? Fascinating. That he is basically saying, you think it's bad over in France? It's going to happen here, too. And they want it to happen. Why? The Muslim kids in France are simply cannon fodder for the world revolution. Certainly the young people here, the illegal aliens here in this country, are simply cannon fodder for the revolution they want to get going here. And they're going to end up losing their freedom. And we're going to end up losing our freedom. That's what it's all about. That's why we're encouraging people to come here and violate our laws. That's why the police aren't allowed to turn an illegal alien over to the INS. That's why we subsidize them to coming here for their education and subsidize their health care and give them welfare and help them to buy houses and help them to send their money back, to their families in Mexico. We're doing everything we can to encourage them to come in violation of our laws. Because our leaders are not dedicated to the preservation of America, but to this globalist dream of the New World Order and the New World Religion. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Go ahead, Paul.
I figured something else out, Stanley. There's a lot of child abductions. You see children being abducted and people being missing, and women, especially women, and I believe a lot of them are in sex trades, slave trades, and child pornography and everything else. And I couldn't figure why all this. I mean, this is just, it's epidemic form. Every time you turn on TV, another sex scandal, another child sex abuse, another child snatched. And what they're really leading up to is, well, they said if your child has a chip under its arm, like they did in Japan, that whenever your child gets missing, a satellite can pick it up within 3 feet of the child is. What parent wouldn't take that to make sure that their loved one isn't kidnapped?
And so it would be a great thing if everybody had a chip. That way, we couldn't be kidnapped.
Exactly, and that's what they're going to sell the public, and that's what's coming. And in a way, it's good. I mean, I don't have a problem with the chip. The problem I have is the people who are behind the chip.
All right, I agree with you totally. But yeah. I do have an objection to the chip because I don't trust them. And let's go to Alan calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Alan. How are you doing?
You know me, Stan. This is not my...
That's all right,
not
my fine. Okay, I know who this is.
Okay. Now, in 1966, I was going to San Jose State, and I was in a carpool, and the fellow's brother occasionally rode with us, tried to recruit me for his nefarious purposes. Now, he was the actual head of the Communist Party in San Jose. And he told me how they were planning a communist revolution in America in 1975. They had explosives buried under the power towers all over the Northwest, all over the country. He also had tried to recruit me to be the courier for certain monies. Now, people hear about the SDS, Students for Democratic Society, how it was not a communist organization. The next year I moved down to downtown by the campus, and I was downstairs from the SDS headquarters. And the members of the SDS were on the steering committees of all the other dissident groups. There were two to three on each committee. The SDS members were, he was trying to recruit me to carry the funds every week to pay them. They were paid professional communist rioters. The money went from Moscow to Canada to the Security Savings Bank in San Jose. I know the fellow who tailed the guy that actually did deliver the money, and he told me how he saw the money delivered. So that is true. That is how they were. That's probably what's going on in France today.
I think you're absolutely right, and I appreciate you calling.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be back in just a moment here at Great for Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and Alan was just saying that he thinks the same thing is going on in France, that he witnessed going on here in America in the 1970s as the communists were involved in creating the riots here during the Vietnam War, and he's absolutely right. The only question is, who was funding the communists in Russia during the Vietnam War? Why, your tax money was. The America built the Kama River plant, the largest truck building plant anywhere in the world in Russia. We funneled billions and billions and billions of dollars into the Soviet Union as they financed the Communist Party in the United States. Why would you do something that stupid unintentionally? That's why the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence is so important in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, pointing out that we have funded the communists since their inception, as we're funding communism in China today, as we're funding communism in North Korea today, oh, of course, in the name of humanitarian aid, as we're funding communism in North Vietnam, or Vietnam, oh, but of course, we're just trying to help the people there, as we're funding communism in Russia today, under one guise or another. It's the same thing like deja vu all over again. And, of course, they are then funding unrest throughout the world. Doesn't make sense unless maybe there's another agenda behind what's going on. Paul, we've just got a couple of minutes. Why don't you wrap up the program in about a minute and a half?
Well, only thing I'd like to say is for your listeners to log on to newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com at 10 p.m. Pacific. Every day like clockwork, you get the following day's stories. We just, by the way, we just got a new writer that's going to be joining us very soon, and I know you know her, Stan. Her name is Holly Swanson.
Oh, yeah, Holly's a good friend.
She's got a book out called Set Up and Sold Out. She will be starting to submit articles soon, so we have some of the best writers in the country. Yeah, we have a few that are, you know, Bush supporters, but we keep them because they're not bad people, and they're just blind, and they balance it a little bit so it doesn't sound like it's, you know, the truth is very scary to people, so we're trying to balance it a little bit. But mainly what you have is decent writers with, you know, are enlightened in their fields. We have three doctors writing for us, that are MDs, like Dr. Carolyn Dean's articles, and her first article with us was, well, how they want to ban your vitamins. And she goes to Europe and travels all over the world to find out what's going on in Europe, because what's happening there will happen here a few years later. So she kind of gets the bird's eye view, so to speak, of what's going on different subjects.
Paul, I hate to cut you off, but we're out of time. We could go on for a long time, but thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you very much for having me.
Good night. God bless. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest this evening has been Paul Walters of newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com. And Paul is doing a tremendous job. You say, what can one person do? Paul's put up a website. one of the finest websites in the country. They're getting 20 to 25 million hits a day. 20 to 25 million hits a day. People all across America are getting information that they're not getting from the controlled media. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of good people out there looking for the truth, and here's a good place to get it, that newswithviews.com, and you'll even find my articles there from time to time. Or you can go to our website at www.radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, and pull down our newsletters. They're on the Internet site. You can listen to our radio programs 5 hours a day on the Internet. What is our message? We're involved in a spiritual battle being carried out on a political, ideological, cultural, economic, and certainly educational battlefield. That the war, as terrible as it is in Iraq, is a great diversion, because the future of the world rests on what happens here in the United States. It is America's military and financial might that are being used to bring about the New World Order and the New World Religion, because there are powerful spiritual forces here at work, intent upon destroying what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave, and of course using our power and our might to bring about this New World Order. And you'll find that all described in the newsletters on our website at radioliberty.com. And I suggest simply our last two newsletters on the occult hierarchy. That's the May and June newsletter. If you'd like to get either one of them, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. I'd suggest the second newsletter, the occult hierarchy part two. And if you'd like to understand the scam, which is the current peak oil crisis, and why your utility bill is going up, your natural gas, your gasoline, your heating oil, and your electric bill, why simply get our peak oil too. We'll be glad to send you one of those newsletters. If you have not been in contact with us in the past, we'll send it to you free of charge. If you call us at 1-800-544-8927, that's 1-800-544-8927. We do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family and helping us as we reach out across America on over 60 stations every week. We're small, we're a small voice, but we're the only voice that's going to put together what's happening as far as current events with the spiritual battle that has been waged for 6,000 years over the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like a copy of the newsletter, Peak Oil 2, or The Occult Hierarchy 2. You can listen to our programs 5 hours a day on the Internet at www.radioliberty.com, directly or indirectly. Listen to our shortwave programs. Please tell others about our programs. Encourage them to listen to our programs and to help us as we reach out across America, across the world, with the truth about the spiritual battle that's being waged today. And then please pray for America, pray for revival, pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty. And so until, well, until we're together again, may the Lord be with you.